I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians 11. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promise you to one husband to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ.
Morning. Welcome. There's a reason I'm not in the pulpit. I'll get there in a minute. Because, one, I want to make sure, I want to welcome all of you, especially our visitors, of which there are several today. We're glad that you're here. We're having a fellowship meal in just a few moments. And everybody is welcome. And I didn't want to get in the pulpit and make this formal. This is kind of like family. There is an abundance of food. And so some of our members may say, oh, I forgot and I didn't bring anything. We'll go to the Mexican place after church. Well, stay and eat with us. There's plenty. And nobody's going to say you didn't bring something you can't eat. You stay. For those of you who are visiting, you didn't know, stay and eat with us. And fellowship with us. We want to get to know you. So this is your personal invitation. And let me just tell you, if you have to go somewhere, we understand. But we're going to be more upset if you don't stay than if you say, well, I didn't bring any food. I'm not going to stay. You understand? We're going to be more upset with you leaving than with you staying. So stay and eat with us if you can at all. And having preached now for 30 plus years, I'm not going to keep you from the food a long time this morning. How's that? I have another announcement that I want to make. If you hadn't been by the library this morning, you got to go to the library on your way before you eat. Or certainly after you eat. And see, there is an addition. There is a beautiful, lack of better words, table that is in our library. It is designed and handmade by our own Ransom Jones. And I know Josh helped, and the gentleman named Bobby is the gentleman's name that helped Ransom and some others, but it is exquisite. And you need to see that. I would tell you, let's give Ransom a hand of applause. Let's don't do it. Let's hold on that. Because you ain't seen it. And what I'm telling you is, when you see it, you will understand that a mediocre round of applause would be inappropriate for the time and energy spent. Ransom, thank you. I don't want to overdo, but this is very special. This will be, barring a fire, there will be generations to come who will see that table and appreciate it's great. It is solid. There's no veneers. There's nothing. It is solid wood and Ransom designed it. And I don't want to go, but you need to see that and be sure to think. We may give him a round of applause, but it will mean much more after you have seen the tremendous job that he did for us and spent months doing that. And I want to personally thank him for doing that for us. Now, this morning I want to talk about purity in relationships. And I think, man, we have missed this in society. We have just missed this. Not hopefully as Christians, but I think even as Christians, we have not done well on purity in relationships. We're better about purity in our marital relationship, but we really have not taken maybe as strong a position and been as vocal as often about it as purity in our relationships prior to marriage. And I think the scripture is very important about that. And I want to tell you, this is important for all of us, especially for our younger people, as we talk about this issue of the marriage relationship. Now, we have talked, and we will remind ourselves this morning, about what God's design is for husbands and wives, for men and women. And remember something. This is God's design for people, not just for Christians. Now, why do I say that? Because sometimes the thought is, well, those are just rules for Christians to live by, but they don't apply to anybody else. Look, this is God's design from the beginning. We can reject it, but this is God's perfect design from the beginning for all people who He created in His image. And I'm going to keep reminding us of that because it's not for a select group. This is how people ought to live, not just because that's what God wants, but this is what God designed to be the best relationship. Because what two things do we know? God knows what's best, and God wants what's best. And if we'll believe those two things, it will change our whole. God knows what's best and God wants what's best. And so God's design and lessons for sexuality and relationship are the best. If you want the best, this is it. Now, the Garden of Eden. I just got to come back. I just don't have any desire to be in the pulpit today. God's design of Eden. Who thinks that wasn't a great design? Anybody? It was a great design. Everything they needed for food was there. God walked in the garden. I'm just guessing the climate was perfect. You know, it was just perfect every day. And God walked in the cool of the garden. It was wonderful. Adam and Eve had absolutely everything that they needed. Perfectly designed. They were tending the garden, but the ground hadn't been cursed. There are no weeds and thistles and diseases of plants or people. None of that. It's great. And what did Eve do and Adam do when the serpent, Satan himself, convinced them what? God doesn't want what's best for you, right? God doesn't want what's best for you. Because God has told you not to eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but you'll die. He said, I tell you, you won't die. What will you do? You will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. And the implication is, God doesn't want that for you. God's keeping that from you. God, unlike the army, doesn't want you to be all that you can be. Okay? And so Adam and Eve eat. And what do they think? Eve says, it's attractive. It looks like it would be good for food. And if it will make us wise, I will eat it. Because we will be, the thought is, better off than we are now. So Adam and Eve eat of the fruit. Were they better off? No. Did they drop dead immediately? They didn't, but death comes in the world. We're just a chapter away from two murders. I mean, death is in the world. Everything changed because what? God knew what was best. God wanted what was best. And when Adam and Eve didn't do what God told them to do, they didn't get the best because Satan lies. Just get that in your mind. Satan lies. As the older folks used to say, he'd rather climb a tree and tell a lie than stand on the ground and tell the truth. Satan lies. And he lied to Adam and Eve, and he lies to us every single day. Because God created this perfect relationship of man and woman. We talked about that just a few weeks ago. Remember? Eve was perfectly designed for Adam and Adam for Eve so that they completed each other and actually become one. Together they become one. One better than the two individually. That's God's design for man and woman to be together and to form a family. And for that to be pure, because Adam and Eve, when they are created, have no clothes. They're not wearing any clothes. Now, we have eaten of the fruit. There ain't enough money in the world for me to get up here without my clothes on. You sit here and watch it, right? I mean, hey, I'm serious. $1 million would not even tempt me to do that. Because why? Because we have some shame, and plus, I don't even have full-length mirrors in my house, and there's a reason. That's a whole other story. I don't even want to see me without my clothes on. But Adam and Eve were naked, and they felt no shame. Why? Because there was no embarrassment, there was no evil, there was no wrong intent in them at all. It was all good. And that was God's design for man and woman to be together and not to be ashamed in their nakedness. I was in a Bible study this week and we were reading through these verses. This gentleman is a Christian but just doesn't have a lot of biblical background. So we've been studying and starting in Genesis because I'm telling you, it's the foundation. If we get Genesis wrong, we miss it all. All right? So, we've been studying, and we were reading through these verses, and he pronounced what I would say naked is naked. He did it two or three times. And I wanted to go, the last one is naked, the first one is naked, because if you remember Louis Grizzard, There's a difference in naked and naked. Naked is not having your clothes on. Naked is not having your clothes on and doing something you shouldn't. That's the difference, all right? So Adam and Eve, when they were created, were naked. But after they knew the difference between good and evil, and they had evil thoughts in their hearts, they were naked. And they wanted to cover themselves. There was a shame that came to that, that God didn't intend and shouldn't exist in the relationship between husbands and wives. But there is a purity to that relationship. And that's what Trey read for us, because Adam and Eve led to impurity when they followed Jesus, when they followed Satan and not God, right? The scripture will talk about Israel, the nation, that when they went into idolatry, that they were unfaithful to God. It is equated to being adulterous. Okay? And so, then what we see that Paul writes to the Corinthians is, he is jealous for that Corinthian church because he wants to present them to Christ as a husband, as a bride that is pure and virgin. And we've almost lost that concept in our culture that still frowns on adultery, not as much as it used to, but still frowns on adultery, but almost accepts sexual relationship between unmarried folks as just part of life. You agree? I'm telling you, it reflects in our popular media every day, absolutely every day. Who knows who? It happens in our culture. We know it, but that's not God's intent. God's intent is for one man and one woman to be connected in marriage and to become one flesh, spiritually and physically, through human sexuality. And that's God's design. It's not to be open. There should be no shame in it, but it should be an experience shared between husbands and wives. That's God's design. And when we mess that up, we don't have the best. Because God designed the best. Now let me stop here for a moment. And let's talk about something that's important. I know dinner's waiting. It's hot. It's cooling down every moment. I'm aware. But this is important. This is of extreme importance for us. What if you're not pure today? Whether you're younger or older. What if you say, I've already blown the ideal? Then all you can do today is start from where you are. Start from where you are and recommit to purity in your relationship or to purity until you have a relationship of marriage. That's all you can do. Okay? That's all you can do. But to say, I've blown it, I'm going to continue, is not appropriate response. Repentance calls for us to do what? To change our actions. You know, we can't go back, but we can pray that God gives us strength and we can purify ourselves and change the way that we deal in our relationship. Because God calls us to express our sexuality in the covenant relationship of marriage in which He joins us. It's not just because it is a social norm. It's not just because it is traditional. It's not just because society did this to maintain things. Who did Jesus say joins us? Whatsoever God has joined together, let no man separate. Right? Whatever God has joined together, let no man separate. So in our relationships, it is important that we maintain a purity. Just as Paul desired for the church to be pure for Christ, that we be pure in our relationships and that we present ourselves to our spouses or to our future spouses as pure, and that we can share the intimacy of a physical relationship with them and only them. What a special relationship that is. And don't let Satan in society tell you that that's out of date. It's not out of date. It's not out of date. I have shared this joke with you. I didn't say this, but I did share it with my friends afterward. We had the auditor from the state, our systems auditor. I mean, we get audited in our books and we got systems auditors and everything else. And so she's got 30-something years experience, but back, this is the first time she's been doing what she's doing. And I was one of the first people that she interviewed by herself without a trainer. And so she's got notes everywhere, and I don't know how in the world she's going to read them, because she's got papers all over and she's scrabbling on the side. She's worse than I am. But hopefully she will remember. But she asked me the question, what's your virus control? And the first thing that came into my mind was abstinence. And so I told some folks, I said, oh, I was so embarrassed after that. I told her abstinence, and then I realized that wasn't the question she was asking. But anyway, I didn't actually say it, but it came to my mind. But what I'm saying is, there are all kinds of physical reasons why that is important. We rarely talk about it now because it's kind of out of touch. It's out of the norm. But sexually transmitted diseases are rampant in our society. Absolutely rampant. Do you know how many people find out about infidelity in their marriage? It's from an STD. And then you got to figure out, where did it come from? And that's always a sad thing. I think maybe when Taylor was born, I'm not sure, the nurse who was dealing with us, she said, do you know how rare it is that we get a couple in here, and she said, that have no STDs, and that the biological parents and all of their siblings are biologically brothers and sisters. I mean, she just made the comment that that was unique in our society. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not just about disease, but the sexual relationship designed for marriage brings about an intimacy that God desired. And it is to be shared between husbands and wives. That is a special part of that relationship. And it's not to be shared with others. And because I can give you all kind of reasons. If the only reasons were about birth control and disease, I mean, we have certainly come a long way in our society in dealing with those two issues, right? And that has led kind of to the revolution. Loretta Lynn even sang about that. But that's not the issues, was just unwanted pregnancies and disease control, although those are very, very real issues. It is about a specially designed relationship that God created for us, for people, in marriage, and it's about keeping that. And it's about keeping ourselves pure. And so in that relationship, we ought to be faithful to our spouses. Is that always easy? It's not always easy. Ask King David how easy it was. The man after God's own heart. He found it to be uneasy, difficult. And then, what else did he find? He found shame in it, didn't he? He found shame in it. He found so much shame and embarrassment in it that he said, it would be better for me to kill a man than for somebody to find out that this happened. And so guess what? He did. He killed a man so it wouldn't get out what he had done. That's not the blessing that God has for us. The blessing God has for us, if we will keep our relationships in their proper place, that there are blessings and not shame. Instead of leading to murder, it leads to glorious things that are shared together. And it was God's design, who knows what's best and who wants what's best, for us to be pure. To be pure in our relationships. And these are important. You know, it's always tough. I bet when you were a kid, those of you who are older, the older folks said, I really feel sorry for y'all in the world you got to grow up in. And then when I was younger, 40 years ago, older people say, I sure hate for you to grow up. I feel sorry for y'all growing up in the world you've got to grow up in. And you know what I think about my kids? I sure am sorry for them having to grow up in the world they have to grow up in. Because there are things more open and more accepted that we have to deal with. But it's always a struggle. It was a struggle from the beginning. It will be a struggle to the end. But for God's people, it is what God calls us to, is to purity. It's to purity in our relationship and purity in our sexuality. Again, maybe we need to make a commitment today to be pure from this day forward. To be pure from this day forward. Because going back is not something we have an option to do. And for others of us, we need to make the commitment to follow God's plan of sexual purity until marriage and then faithfulness in our marriages. Because that's what God called us to. Not because He wants to sit in heaven and say, you know, I'm keeping these folks from really what's best. You know, from really what's best. Because I'm going to tell you, on TV, that looks like more fun, I suppose. Looks like more fun, I suppose. But it's not because of all of the things that go with it, all the baggage. And we lose what's really the best. This was not about premarital sexuality, but about leaving one spouse for something better. It's an Ed Bruce song. And the Ed Bruce song goes like this. He's back now single again, all right? And he's in the single scene that he thought was going to be great. And the words go like this. We're just a room full of strangers looking for some company. But who would want to get acquainted with a fool like me? We're all here for a good time, but we don't know what a good time is. I can't believe I traded Hello Daddy and Good Morning Darling for this. You know, it looked glamorous. You know, the struggles of family and home. I'm going to get out where I'm free and I can meet people and do all those things. And I think that song hits the core of it. You know, I realize that I traded the best. I traded the best for this. God knows what's best and God wants what's best. He calls us to be committed to that. God's not keeping us from the best. God is providing us the best. He designed us and made us. And we need to shout that from the hilltops. We need to exemplify it in our lives for us to be pure as people of God. Jesus died that we might be forgiven. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.